Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, I know that many of you have watched Duck Dynasty across the years, and some of you feel really proud of that. We're glad to have as a very special guest on this evening's broadcast, Phil Robertson. He has another New York Times best-selling book, no doubt. It came out in February, and he, of course, had two previous best-selling books. He is a man of many talents, a very colorful character, but most importantly, he's a brother in Christ, and we're very thankful for that. Phil Robertson's new book is The Theft of America's Soul, Blowing the Lid Off the Lies That Are Destroying Our Country, and I'm delighted to welcome him to the broadcast tonight. Phil, I want to talk with you about your latest book. You're not a newcomer to writing, and you're not a newcomer to being a best-selling author on the New York Times list, but you've got a new one that I know some people are going to regard as controversial, but I mean, what did they expect?
If you quote the text.
Yes.
I didn't write the text in the Bible. I just simply quote them.
Amen.
And amazingly, they blame me for saying what God wrote.
Amen.
So they're really, I don't hold it against them. What they don't understand is their battle is really not with me. It's with the God who has created the cosmos. That's who their problem's with.
Amen. Amen. And the fact
just
is,
just trying to help them.
And well, and I'm glad you are. One of the things that I also appreciate about your book is that you're very clear about your own journey and the fact that you used to be on the other side of the battlefield.
I've been there and done that.
Yep.
You know, if you look at it, what's happened to us, you know, come back to old Plato, one of them said, one of the Greek philosophers, he said, find out who's teaching the children.
Yes.
So look, you look out at America and our culture, and you see two groups. This is Galatians 5:19. One group is here's what you'll see. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He said, I warn you, you're not going to inherit the kingdom if you live like that. That's
Amen.
One group.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bigger group.
Mm-hmm.
The other group that I see just as clearly as the nose on your face, they're known for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you just look at the two groups, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
For 60 years now, we've not allowed what I just quoted, Galatians 5:19-22. We can't teach them that.
Right.
In our public schools. Well, what in the world did we expect to happen after 60 years of no God, none of these qualities being taught? You're like, my goodness, we've run God out of the school system and replaced him with Karl Marx and his doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the most pathetic. If someone had told me the United States of America would be saying and doing, and this latest crop of these freshman representatives, if someone had told me that we would be listening to all this crap, I wouldn't have believed it, would you?
I think it's pretty shocking. I absolutely agree with you on that. I think when It's not just the gloves are off. It's we're in free fall. When we cannot agree to save children after they're born, but we must try to rescue the kittens.
And cheering and jumping up and down when the law is passed that you can kill them even outside the womb.
Yes.
And people are jumping like they somebody scored a touchdown.
Right. Right. And those are our elected representatives. That is as wicked as it gets. It is moral insanity. Now,
it is scary. I've made a prediction before. Unless there's a mass repentance on behalf of America, mm-hmm. and a gigantic awakening, and if and until we turn back to God, I see no way out of this mess.
Absolutely. No. There is no way apart from supernatural intervention. God's going to have to change the hearts of people. And that's why the most important thing that we can do is to be on our face before God in prayer.
That's why that, along with you say, Phil, why did you write the book? So at least we can tell them. So in other words, they need to be told, because if you think about it, if you've never been taught godly principles and godly qualities, where would you find them?
Right.
So if it were not for the private schools and the homeschool people, I don't know what this thing would look like.
Yeah.
But my sons, I raised four boys, and they told me later, they said, Dad, when they started having their children, they said, we really thank you for raising us with guidelines and parameters. We thank you for that, because now that we have kids, we get it now.
Well, now, Phil, you talked about in this book, and I think it's central to your thesis, and I think our folks need to grab hold of this verse. Jesus says in John chapter 8, talking to some very religious people who hated God, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language.
That is correct.
He is a liar and the father of lies. And when you wrote this book, The Theft of America's Soul, you subtitled it, Blowing the Lid Off the Lies That Are Destroying Our Country. And you lay those out. You don't just speak in generalities.
And who's behind it?
Yep. Amen. This is spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6 says the war we're in is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I appreciate the fact you not only identify the lies, but you counter them with the truth.
Yep.
And I appreciate that. The first lie that you cite is that God is dead, and the truth is the God of the Bible is not dead, and he never will be. And you're calling people back to God, aren't you?
Sure. And we had a elders meeting, and I was sitting in there, and one of the elders said, Phil, I know you're always checking YouTube. I said, yeah. I mean, I don't even own a cell phone, for crying out loud. I never purchased one. I said, yeah, I might have missed. So what did you find on that? He said, some guy said, after reading your book, he repented and turned back to God. He said, I was as lost as you could be. He said, I read that book. And he said, but I want Mr. Robertson to know that I have repented and turned to God.
Praise God.
I thought, well, at least I know of one. So
that's wonderful.
About all we can do is preach the good news of Jesus. You know, if you think about it, we have life and immortality on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has come down to the earth. Our calendar documents him.
Mm-hmm.
2019 years ago, he removes all our sins by dying on a cross. 3 days later, he solved our physical death problem by being raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
We got constant mediating work from him where he went back to.
Amen.
The right hand of the Father, interceding for us.
Yes.
Keeping us cleansed.
Yes.
So all we have to do is believe that and trust in him, and we end up with life and immortality. I keep asking these Americans, I keep saying, do y'all have a better story? And they just stare at me.
Well,
because how are you going to top that one?
Yeah, well, I mean, there is nothing as wonderful as the gospel.
That is
and,
right.
You know, you outline these 10 lies, you share the 10 truths that really refute them, and then you share, as you titled it in chapter 11, the truth of truths. You share the gospel, you share your own testimony, and of course, your testimony is woven throughout the book, but as you share the gospel, you're calling people to put their trust in Christ.
What most people don't realize is you and I are talking, you say, so what basically are you doing right now with dialogue with each other? You and I are worshiping the God of heaven. That's what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about his goodness, his love, Jesus, what he did for us, what he's now doing, what he will do, immortality. So we're worshiping God. Everybody, when they hang up, they need to turn to Romans chapter 12, and here's what it says. Here's one of our problems, and I mentioned it over there in the church being kind of like anonymous Christianity. Once you get it down to where only you only worship God at a place for a couple of hours on Sunday morning, well, that leaves you 166 hours in a week. What are you doing? So I'm trying to get our people to see we need to make sure that we worship God. I urge you, in view of God's mercy, what he's done for us, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship.
Yes.
The Apostle Paul said, look, if you're going to be salt and you're going to be light, you're going to have to be out there among the people where you work. Do they hear profanity coming from your mouth? Do they see belligerence? And if you're being hateful, we got plenty of that in America. But what would happen if we, the church, understood that wherever we are, we have an impact for good or evil? We just need to make sure our impact is good.
Amen. Amen. And it is 24/7, 365.
24/7.
Yep. Now, in your book, you, again, as we mentioned, outline what these lies are. And these lies are everywhere. I mean, they're woven into our entertainment industry, into the news media. And as you mentioned, they control the public school system as far as how people teach their children. The solution to that is the truth. And Christians have got to be embracing what God says. Because his word is truth.
In a way that has more impact. In other words, if you keep him confined to a structure on the side of the road for a few hours a week, it's not enough. We're going to have to be more proactive and going out and pointing. You know, the text in Ephesians 3 there where the Apostle Paul said, through the church, God's manifold wisdom will be made known. So it's through us that people see Jesus Christ or see the devil. We just have to be careful to always have a very good reflection, what we say, what we do, what our eyes see, how we react, how we don't react. You say all of those things, they're all in Romans 12. In other words, don't return evil for evil. Love must be sincere. Practice hospitality. Keep your spiritual fervor. Serve the Lord. As far as it depends on you, do what is right in the eyes of everybody, because if you claim Jesus these days, you better be up to the task and live it, because they'll sure find out whether you're a hypocrite or not, that's for sure.
Well, amen. Now, one of the lies that you cite in this is that church participation and day-to-day life need to be kept separate, and what you've just said is no, the opposite is true. The church is God's presence keeping the world from becoming hell on earth. That's what it means for us to be salty salt and shining lights. We make a difference in the environment.
You bet. In other words, being salt and being light means everywhere we are, we have an impact for good. You know that Romans 2 says, God will give to each person for what he's done. He said, for those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, God will give us eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. So there's a day of reckoning coming for America, just as it's been through all these empires throughout history. If you notice carefully, you go back and watch all the empires, go way on back to the Babylonians and before them, you say, all of them rise, they all rot from within because of their sin, it weighs them down, and they end up a pile of rubble. And if we're not careful, the greatest nation on earth, the United States of America, will fall victim to the same thing.
Well, amen. We're not immune. And the fact is, for generations now, not a generation, but really generations, we've been shaking our fist at God and saying, we're gonna have it our way. We're going to do what we want.
You know, if you think about it, if there's no God, and the way I was taught in college, there was no God. Mm-hmm. And if you just think about it, and I was a heathen, when I finally did come to Jesus, I looked around one day and I said, you know what? This peace of mind that you receive from God when you come to Him mm-hmm. on His terms, and I said, this hope of immortality, if there's no God, none of us are getting out of here alive, ever.
Right.
So I'm just looking at it saying, so you're wanting me to embrace Karl Marx and all of these isms, atheism, agnosticism, humanism, socialism, Marxism. I got a book, had old Dan get it for me the other day. There literally are thousands upon thousands of words with ISM tacked on to the end of them.
Yes.
I said, I reject all words with ism behind them except capitalism and baptism. I'm standing on those two. Those two I'm holding on to, but all the rest of them are cheap substitutes to try to get around God.
Well, you're right, and I want to be clear for our listeners that while your book is addressing what has happened in America and shows a very appropriate concern for what's happening right now in America and what the future is if America doesn't repent, these truths are ones that are true all over the world, all throughout history.
Time tested.
Absolutely. We are the ends of the earth that the gospel has come to. It didn't originate here in Louisiana or in Tennessee. The truth was given to us by God and has spread from Israel around the world.
That's it.
We're now on the other side of the globe saying, thank you, Jesus, for coming to rescue heathen like us.
Yep, just think about it. When Jesus, in that John 8, before he convicted those people and told them they belonged to Satan, mm-hmm. the father of lies and the father of murder, if you notice right at first, he said, if you hold to my teaching, then you're really my disciples, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Amen.
Well, they arguing with him about set free from what? He said, everybody who sins is a slave to sin. So when Jesus died, listen, you go through these Bible texts, he set us free from Satan. He set us free from sin. He set us free even from the guilt of it all.
Amen.
He set us free from a law of works having to be perfect. Now we're under grace.
Mm-hmm.
And he set us free from the grave itself. In my humble opinion, I call that game, set, match. I mean, you're like, boy, Lord, you didn't leave out anything. And what's amazing, he did it all in 3 days. I just don't think human beings could have dreamed up the story.
No. And I love the fact that when you read the Bible, the folks who wrote it didn't paint themselves as being the heroes. There's one hero, and that's our Lord.
Just think about it. Out of all the people who have ever walked on planet Earth, just one of them was sinless.
Amen.
Turns around and dies so that we could become viewed as sinless because of our faith in Him.
Amen.
What a story.
Amen. What a wonderful, gracious Savior.
Well, our job is to, and maybe the book will help, if you notice, I weave the gospel in there.
Absolutely.
I kept weaving it in there so that they would understand, look, He is the way out of all this. He's the way out. So maybe, hopefully, I've prayed for him. By the way, all the cursings I take for being one of God's spokesmen, you know, a little bigger way than most people, all of the cursing and the vitriol and the hatred, I absolutely do not hold it against any of them. Mm-hmm. I just go right on. I give them the text that deal with sin. I always remind them, I say, listen, until you understand the bad news, sin and being cut off from God forever, mm-hmm. and physical death, until you understand those things, you'll never be able to appreciate the good news.
Amen.
When you hear it.
Amen. Absolutely. Now, your book came out February 5th of 2019, and yet this story is really the old story, isn't it?
Yep.
This is the gospel,
yep.
and that's what it's about. It is a wonderful, fresh telling. As I mentioned, you weave your testimony all through it. As you said, you weave the gospel all through it. But you're not standing there saying, I am a good guy who hasn't messed up and the rest of you need to repent. You tell your story of how you were as lost as could be,
yep.
and God rescued you.
I'm just another sinner saved by the grace of God.
Well, I am so
thankful.
You know
what's amazing? Way back, if you read, you say, what happened to America? Because we haven't been here but 243 years. What happened to us? Here's some old writings written to the Roman Empire. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God,
mm-hmm.
God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God haters. It sounds like the internet.
Yes.
Sounds like Facebook. Arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. And he ends that up by saying, here's some human beings in the days of the Roman Empire. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the bad news is they're still here, my man.
Mm-hmm.
They're still here, the same group, and they don't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, get rid of God, and now we see what they replace him with, and it's a sad, sad, sad thing to watch.
Amen. It's tragic.
I love them enough to try to get them to turn, so... Other than that, that was my only reason for writing the book, just trying to get them to turn.
Well, and again, you know that God turns people.
You
know what it is to be sitting there in the bar. You had a person who cared about you, your sister,
yep.
who never gave up on you.
Yep.
And Jan brought the preacher to the place where you were.
That's exactly right.
And that is a kind of evangelism most folks don't do. But
I
Jan,
thank God for that sister of mine for bringing that dude up there, old Bill Smith, that preacher bringing him up there
yep.
that night.
I'm so glad that the Lord has given you such a wonderful reach, and I pray that God will use this book, The Theft of America's Soul by Phil Robertson, to touch many, many lives and bring many to faith. And I
thank you for that, my brother, I do.
I hope also that it's going to stir a lot of folks who already know the Lord and would agree with your views to become more vocal and more visible.
Yeah, that would really be great. I'd love to see our country turn back to God, wouldn't you?
Amen. And you said in citing Romans chapter 12 there, the Apostle Paul says we must yield our bodies to him. He also said we must not be conformed to this world. We can't let the world squeeze us into its mold. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. And he will.
Yep.
We're not just forgiven. We're being transformed.
Boy, it's been a great, great talk we've had this morning, my man.
Well, thank you, Phil. I appreciate your coming on the broadcast with us.
I appreciate that. I love you all.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.